This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hello and welcome to another MSP Midweek podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brown. Bob Main is taking a little time off and asked me to do a review on his new Smith & Wesson Shield. I got to fire this gun a couple times. I've got to fire his and someone else's. I trained with it a little bit actually yesterday when we were on the range doing some filming after our class. And I played with it a bunch this morning trying to train with it, just trying to get a feel for it. And I trained and trained and trained, and I spent a lot of time, actually, more than I like to, or more than I had, trying to like this gun. When you look at it, it's pretty incredible just to look at. And every review I've seen, it just can't stand how good this gun is. Like, it's the best thing that ever happened. And I don't think so, not even close. But anyways, this Smith, to start with, its size, it's almost the same size as my Glock 19. And when you look at the overalls on the website, it's really not. The overall length of the Smith & Wesson is 6.1 inches. The Glock is 7.36. And I can see that when I hold them up together, that the Glock is a little bit longer, like a whole sight longer. That's what it really looks like when you hold them side to side. The height, the Smith is listed at 4.6, but the Glock is listed at 5.04. The Smith, for me to work it, to fire it, to hold on to it, I need to put an extra extended magazine in that comes with the Smith. It comes with a flush fitting and an extended magazine. But when I put that extended magazine in there, and I actually put both the guns on the table upside down, the Smith is actually longer or taller overall than my Glock 19. Where the Smith comes into vogue is how thin this thing is. It's considerably thinner looking than Glock. And Smith lists it at 0.95 inch, and Glock lists theirs at 1.18, and that's only, a tenth of an inch? Less than two-tenths of an inch? But looking at it, it's a lot. When I hold them side by side, and when I put it in a holster, and I try to hide it, it is a lot. And the Glock's thick, and it sticks out, and it's hard. Hard to hide, hard to use. Well, not hard to use, but it's hard to hide. Anyways, the weight of these things is almost the same. The Smith is at 19 ounces. The Glock is at 21.1. I'm picking both of them up right now. When I got the magazine in the Smith, it actually feels heavier than my Glock is when without a magazine in it. So they're so close that you can't figure it out. But I got this thing in my hands, and I thought I'd go over it my feel on it. You can pick up all the technical specs online. Anybody can give you that. But I wanted to give you the feel and the finish of the gun and my personal opinion. Features that it's got that I kind of like. It's a striker-fired pistol, like everything else. It is a little different than other striker-fired pistols. It has a manual safety on it. That's starting to get popular, too. I know you can order your M&P with a manual safety or without. SR9s are coming with the manual safety, and the LCP has a manual safety. Not the LCP, the LC9, I'm sorry, has a manual thumb safety. So they're coming back in vogue, which I actually like, but nothing big there. It's got a decent trigger pull on it, which is saying a lot for an M&P pistol, because I really, the full-size M&P, do not like the trigger on those things at all. Personal preference, it has no feedback after you pull the trigger. I think it's a real sloppy, and there's a lot of over-travel on it. They did fix that on this shield, and there's a notch behind the trigger, almost at the magazine release. And you can see that it lines up with a notch on the trigger itself to become that over-travel stop. And it actually works. You can go back and forth between whether the over-travel stop will hurt you or hinder you. Most of the 1911 users, you know, they like it because then they can adjust it for how far it goes. But the less over travel you have, the less reliable the pistol becomes, because it might not fire if that over travel is sticking too far out and you can't pull the trigger all the way to release the sear. But, I mean, most companies have figured that out as long as you don't get in there and, start changing things in the pistol, you'll be fine. It's a single stag magazine, which is what gives this thing its life, because it makes it so thin, as you get a 9mm in a single stack, and I got the 8-round magazine. It comes with a 7-round magazine, an 8-round magazine. The 8-round magazine sticks out a little bit, but that gives me a full purchase on the gun. The things I liked about this pistol, just picking it up. When you pick it up, it's really pretty. I mean, it's like what Glock should be. I don't know. You think of Glocks being that ugly, ugly pistol. Smith is exactly the opposite. The shield is real nice. It's got some good engraving on it. It has lines on the slide like it's just put there for looks. It has their logo engraved on it. The slide serrations are almost a scale instead of just a straight slide like everybody else. On the other side, scales and slide release. The bluing is nice, and it matches the bluing on the barrel. The barrel fit and finish to the slide is really nice. It's got a loaded chamber indicator that I guess it's really a hole that I guess you could look into. I never even looked into it when I was on the range. I look into it right now when it's not loaded. I couldn't tell you whether it was loaded or not. Not a big help to me there. But continue on. The pistol's kind of funny. It has this warning in white on the slide. Caution. Capable of firing with magazine removed. So, if you don't know, a lot of old Smiths had the magazine disconnect, and that's what they were pretty safe for, is you could pull out the magazine and then the pistol wouldn't fire. So, I guess they're trying to say this one's different, and pull out the magazine, and it still goes click. So, it does work without the magazine in there, so there's no disconnect, which I actually prefer no disconnect. I don't need that safety. That safety can be enacted through my brain. But it's a really pretty pistol. When you pick one up, you look at it, you hold it, it just feels like a quality piece, and it looks like it's a quality piece. I mean, it's something you could almost put in a shadow box and look at it and say, ooh, aw, it's pretty. The way they did the stippling on the handles, and they stippled the magazine release. The only ugly, kind of ugly part is, I think, is the trigger, because it's got a two-piece trigger as part of the safety. But other than that, it's got real nice stuff. Okay, the other stuff that I liked about it is how small and thin it really was. If I put it in a Black Mamba holster by Concealment Solutions, I can hide it in a t-shirt and shorts without any issue. I can even wear shorts without a belt because it's so small. I borrowed that holster from Bob and the pistol. Had no problem walking around the house, and I looked in the mirror, could see it. My wife didn't really see it. Not a big deal. But it was nice to hide. I can't hide my Glock in that t-shirt and shorts because the Glock grip sticks out too much and it's too fat. It prints. The recoil on this thing was pretty manageable. It was obviously more than a full-size gun would be because it's so small, thin, and light. It has a dual recoil spring in that sucked up some of it. I had no problems hitting small targets out there because it has some nice sights on it. It's got a Novak-style rear sight that's dovetailed in with a set screw. And then the front sight is dovetailed in, too. So you could adjust them, change them out if you wanted to. It's a big white dot, big front sight blade, big back blade. It was really easy to use. I didn't have any problems making hits on smaller targets. The manual safety it has is actually in the right spot. I think John Browning hit it on the nose when he put the manual safety under the thumb. That's the way it should be, because that's where your hand naturally grips the gun and turns off the safety. So, what didn't I like about the gun, and why don't I think it's the hit that everybody else does? First of all, for me, the grip is completely wrong. This thing is too thin. Like, it's flat and thin, and it was a race to see how flat we can make the grip and how thin we can make it, with no thought to how it feels. So, when I grab the gun, and I put it in there high in the web of my hand like I should, and I can feel the grip hitting in the back of my palm, I feel it on my fingers, but there is literally space, not enough to stick my finger through, but pretty close. There is space between the palm and the grip. So I get this round thing that's it's hard to describe unless you think about you're trying to pick something up with just your thumb and your fingers, and you don't have a lot of strength there. That's what it feels like for me when I grip this gun. And I keep, when I was shooting it, and right now when I'm trying to, I can't get a good grip on it, so I keep re-gripping on it, and I'm trying to grip it hard, and what I end up doing is like muscling this thing to the point where it's shaking so I can hold on to it correctly. If I don't, it doesn't feel like I have a good grip on the gun, like it's slipping. And then my support hand, because this thing is so small, my support hand can't touch the grip at all. I'm really gripping on my other fingers. The only part of the support hand I can get on the grip or on the gun at all is I can touch the bottom of the magazine, and I can put my thumb, when I'm shooting thumbs forward, on the side of the slide or the side of the frame. That created other problems for me when I was shooting. My thumb actually, when I do the thumb forward grip, rests on the slide stop, and the gun didn't lock the slide bag over half the time on me. I had to do a test to find out if it was actually the gun. Bob kind of got nervous that I broke his gun, but it was actually shooter error. It's just the way I grip the gun. My thumb rides right on that slide stop, and it makes the slide stop not work. I mean, I guess you could overcome that in training, but my thought kind of is, why would I want to? So the grip is way too thin. So hitting targets out of distance wasn't hard, but when I tried to rapid fire it, that was a problem. I felt the recoil a lot. The gun was twisting in my hand and jerking up, and I just couldn't get a repeatable shot on it. It just moved on me, so I was all over the target trying to do fast stuff. The manual safety is, I like manual safeties, and I like thumb safeties. They put it in the right spot. Couple problems with it. One, it's only a single-sided safety. I will not carry a gun with a single-sided safety. You're asking for Murphy's Law. And most people will tell me, and I know this is what Smith & Wesson wants their PR department to do, is to tell you, well, we put it there in case you wanted to carry it with the safety on or the safety off. But I really think a gun with a manual safety should be carried with the safety on, because sooner or later, something's going to go wrong, Murphy's going to strike, and that safety's going to be flipped on. This one, I don't know how it would, because it is so small and actually indented into the frame to where the frame bubbles around it. I don't know how it could happen, but I know with other guns and other things, it has happened, so I wouldn't be surprised if it did. This one is real easy to flip off, really hard to turn on. So if I was using it as a shooter and I wanted to reholster the gun, I have to shift my hand to actually get the safety on to reholster it. When it comes out of the holster, safety comes off real easy. The other problem is it's only single-sided, so, well, I won't carry it single-sided because I can't shoot the gun left-handed. If I carry it with the safety on, something goes wrong, I reach across my body, grab the gun, and if you've seen this kind of trick or you know it, if you reach across the front of your gun, you reach across the front of your body, grab your gun in the holster, pull it out, you actually roll the gun across your belly to get a firing grip on it, and then put it out and shoot. Well, the problem is, I could do all that great, you know, something happens and my right arm goes down, or I'm holding somebody with that arm, or I'm supporting something, and then I have to draw my pistol with the left hand. Man, it's going to be a lot of training to make sure I either shift the gun in my whole hand to click the safety off with my firing finger, or a lot of lefties will do is they'll actually take their thumb around the other side of the slide and click it off with their left firing thumb and then put their grip back on their gun. That takes a lot of time. It's not something I would want to try to play with. I mean, I'm already doing bad if I got to do a firefight one-handed and not even my good hand. I could use my off hand. It's not something I want to worry about and something I want to think about. So if I have a safety, I want a double-sided safety just so it's always the same. Everything is the same. I don't even have to worry about it. The extended magazine design, I like it and I don't like it. I like it because it lets me get me a whole hand on the gun. Most small guns, a Glock 30, my P32 with a flush-fitting magazine, my fingers are actually so big that I can't get a second finger on the gun, and my hand will actually slip under recoil, and I'll end up holding the gun with just my middle finger and my thumb. Can't really control recoil that way. But when I put this on, my pinky hangs over a little bit, but I can still get a little bit of perch on there, and I can still get all the other two big fingers on there, which I'm really worried about to hold the gun. The extended magazine gets in the way when I want to release the magazine and have it drop free. When I release the magazine, it doesn't drop free because the back of the magazine gets caught on my palm. So I actually have to either rip the magazine out, or I'm going to have to adjust my hand to let the magazine go and change my grip on the gun more than I have to. Most of us have to change the grip a little bit to get to the magazine release, and I'm no different, but I really have to like concentrate and either rip the magazine out or put another one in. I think they could redesign the back of the magazine. I think they did form over function here, where they made the back of the magazine look like part of the back strap of the gun and go all the way even. It looks really pretty, but it doesn't work at all because my hand gets stuck and the magazine won't come out. The slide stop is a real stickler for me on this gun. One, it doesn't work when I need it, and then when it does work, I can't get the stupid thing. I mean, I got a firing grip on the gun right now, and I can't get the stupid thing with the magazine in there to go forward. And when I take the magazine out, I can barely do it. It's an amazing amount of strength for this little thing to push down, and it's just really hard to generate with a firing grip on the gun. I know a lot of you do the overhand tug method to chamber around. If you do that, it's not a concern. You should be good to go. Malfunction drills were no problem with this because I can actually engage the magazine or the magazine. I pulled the magazine out and now I can't think. I can actually engage the slide stop really easy, do my malfunction drills, and get the gun back in the fight. But I can't do like I normally do, use the slide stop when I do a magazine change. So that would be a no-starter for me altogether because I'd have to retrain myself again on how to use the gun. And I just, why? Why would I train myself differently to use one gun than the other? And why would I retrain myself to use all the guns if that's how you fight? And that's how I fight, so I wouldn't use this gun for that reason too. So watch out for that if you're going to get it. That slide release is a stickler. It's really in the wrong spot, and there's really not enough leverage. And it might be because of that dual recoil spring that's trying to eat up all that recoil. It's putting so much pressure on it. I think it's just too small. I think they could have made it a hair bigger and designed it in a different shape. It looks like they designed it to be as thin as possible to fit the profile of the gun. And it looks real pretty with all the other parts, but again, I don't think it works really well. It's not a lot different looking than the one on my Glock. I just picked up my Glock to look at it, and it's actually got a little bump on it. But I can't tell you why. I thought I'd look at the Glock and look at that one and tell you why. The Glock just works really easy. I don't have any problems with it. This one I can't make work. It could be just small gun syndrome and you have to make it work, or big hand syndrome and my hand won't work. But I'm thinking more, there could be a redesign there that would help this gun out a lot. The trigger, I like the feel of the trigger when I pull it and, you know, get that nice click. And I didn't have any problems shooting it. I don't really like the broken design. They're trying to do safety in the trigger, kind of like Glock does. But they made a two-piece trigger so that you have to pull the bottom back to get the trigger to line up. And then that will remove the safety. If you just pull on the top, there's a safety lever in the way. Well, what that does is when I change my position on the trigger, the trigger feels different. When I grab to the top, it's a little bit harder. When I grab towards the bottom, it's easier, but squishier. I can feel the trigger is broken and just gives me a weird feel on the trigger. I guess if you shot a Smith & Wesson M&P or another gun that had that broken trigger or that two-piece trigger for the safety, it wouldn't bother you at all. I guess it took me a long time to get used to that little bump in my Glock. I did not like that at all. It took me, I don't know how many times pulling that trigger point with it before I got used to there being two little pieces there. So I could probably get over this if I really wanted to. But then again, I mean, why would I? There's so many good guns out there that this thing is just, I don't like it. I don't like that broken trigger at all. The takedown on this thing, I like it better than taking down my Glock. But I still don't like the most striker fire pistols are the same. This one you have to lock the slide of the rear after you know make sure the gun's unloaded. Lock the slide of the rear, and then in the front there's a takedown lever that you have to rotate forward, and then let the slide release go, and the slide comes forward, but it won't come off until you pull the trigger and release the tension on the striker. I just don't like a gun that you have to pull the trigger to disassemble. I know we're supposed to be all safe and la-da-da-da-yada-yada-yada. Just another thing for an accident to happen, and it's just not me. And then it's that SIG design. You have to remember when you put it back together, you put the slide back on, you lock the slide to the rear to flip that little lever up. If you don't, when you release the slide again, it might go sailing or it might not. Oh, it doesn't. I just tried it, let it go. I've seen people with the SIGs a lot after they put the slide back on and then let it go home. I've seen them come off into clearing barrels, into all sorts of stuff. But this one will actually stay there. Maybe. Oh, okay. Bob, I just tried to break your gun. I tried to make the slide come off the front of the gun when I released it by flipping the takedown lever up and down. Don't do that because the gun got locked up and it didn't want to. I had to finagle it to pull it back. Wouldn't lock the slide back. I had to get it to kind of just stick there so I could get that lever back. So, yeah, I know my Glock. I have to pull the trigger to start with. I mean, that's the first thing. Clear weapon, pull trigger, relieve pressure, and then pull the slide off. I know how it works. Just because I use it doesn't mean I like it. It's one of the things about a Glock I really wish I could change is that design. I mean, I just pull the trigger when I don't want it to go bang. It's just not something I ever like to do unless I'm training. But, you know, hey. Anyways, personal quirk. Not really a showstopper for any of these guns. I talked about the grip and how I can't feel it and hold on to it. And that would be the biggest showstopper. I can't hold on to the gun real well to rapid fire. And then because of the way the controls are so small and my fingers are so big, or I don't know if it's a combination or both, or the controls are just as small, is I can't make it work. And I can't run the gun like I want to run the gun because it's too small. It's kind of like, I feel like a bear trying to ride a bicycle in the circus or something where the bike is too small, or, you know, dad jumps on his 10-year-old or his 6-year-old's little BMX trying to ride it around. You know, you can make it work, but it's awful funny to watch that bear ride that little bicycle around. And that's what I feel like trying to make this gun work. And that's why I don't like it. And that's why, actually, I wouldn't buy it. But I got to borrow Bob's, and I got to shoot it. So I got to say I shot it again, and I got to train with it a little bit more just to make sure. Because, like I said, I really wanted to love this gun. When you pick it up, when you look at it in the case, it's really nice. It's really pretty. The specs are great on it. The trigger is, I mean, compared to a full-size M&P, and it's like going from a crappy $300 1911 trigger to one that was tuned by somebody off a $5,000 gun. It's that much of a difference. The trigger is that much better. But it's still, I just can't make it work. It's just really weird for me. I didn't like the way it recoiled. I didn't like the way it shot. And I think it would all change if I could change the grip. And the bigger backstrap doesn't really help me because the backstrap only makes the pistol longer, not fatter. And that's what I really need, is a little bit more fatter grip. I mean, I guess I could get somebody to put some more stippling and put some more stuff in there to fill the gap between the stipples that are in there. And that's where I really need some more purchase on the gun. But then again, I mean, why? There's so many other great pistols out there that do fit me right, that do shoot right. The Beretta Nano is just a hair bigger, but it fit really well. It shot really well. No safety issues on that. I like that one better. I think it comes down to personal preference. But my feeling is if you can hold on to the gun correctly and you can make it and you can manipulate it to get it to work, this would be a great gun for you. And to each our own. We all have our own styles. We all have our own thoughts. We all have our own looks. And there's a really other. I'm looking at the gun when I play with it, and it's a weird, weird setup. The slide has a notch in it where, you know, most slides do, where you think that the slide stop would go in. But not really. The slide stop is extended back inside the frame to go inside that notch. And where you push on your thumb isn't really where the slide stops. It's where the control is. So they tried to change it. Well, there could be my leverage issue, because I don't have enough leverage to push it down, because they put the button forward of actually the locking mechanism. So that makes sense. I wonder why they... I'm looking at it wondering why they did that. I mean, I guess it looks better that way. I don't know. Probably has something to do with the way they had to cut the slide, or the I'm sorry, cut the slide. The way they had to cut the frame, the notch in the frame out so that they could put the slide stop lever actually in there. I'm trying to look inside, see what else is. Oh yeah, little gun syndrome. Nope, that's not it. Huh. I thought maybe the trigger bar was on the way, but the trigger bar is on the other side. No idea why they did that. Couldn't tell you. But overall, it's a really pretty gun. If you can get the grip to fit you, and your thumb doesn't rest on that slide stop, and you can make that safety work for you, it might be the gun for you. But I really wish, I mean, Taurus did this, Ruger did this. All these little guns are coming out with these cool little 9mm with only the single-sided safety. Manufacturers, if you're listening out there, how hard is it and how much does it cost to put this dual-sided safety in there? I mean, what is it, 1 in 6 Americans are left-handed, so you're cutting them out of ever using your gun with the safety? That would be the first thing I need to do to consider carrying this gun actually as a duty weapon or to save my life, would be to have that double-sided safety. And then after that, it would have to be add some stuff to the grip so I could get a good grip on the gun. And then I'd have to do something. I don't know. I'd have to get somebody to build me a redesign on this slide lock so that I could actually use it without, well, use it when I wanted to and not when I didn't want to when I was shooting, if that makes sense. To get it to work like I want it to, not like it is. But other than that, I mean, everything seems to work. The gun functioned well, didn't have any problems with it out on the range. We were kind of throwing magazines, running it a little bit hard, you know, running as fast as I could, 8 rounds, 8+1. No, I just did 8-round magazines. I was too lazy to top it off because we only had one magazine out at the range. But I was running as hard as I could, and which wasn't really that fast since I can't hold on to the thing. But even with me not being able to hold on to it and it moving in my hand and shifting and turning and moving up and down, it didn't malfunction. So Smith & Wesson really did a good job on that, the internals, the way it works. So I guess it, you know, that's one good thing. It didn't malfunction. I don't think it will. I think it's built that well. I did forget one thing on the magazine that I really like, and I wish more people would do this. I mean, how to describe this? I don't know. A single stack magazine, like a 1911, you see at the magazine lips all the way down, the thing is the same thickness. When you look at this one, it on the top, at the top, it's as thin as it absolutely can be. And then when it moves down a little bit, it gets a little more thickness to it. And when I was playing with it, I thought that was kind of weird at first. And I was like, oh, hey, no big deal, whatever. But actually, it almost makes it like you have a magwell extension or flare that's already built into the magazine itself instead of on the gun because it's a little tiny. It makes the magwell bigger and a smaller top to go in. So it really made, when I wanted to shove the magazine in there, it made it really easy. And that's kind of a problem with most single stack mags is it's a really thin hole and a really thin thing. You're trying to thread a needle almost by putting that magazine in there. So Smith, that was a great design. I wish more companies would pick up that. But other than that, the pistol is the pistol. I wouldn't buy one. I wouldn't use one. The price is pretty good. They're listing them at like $450. The problem right now is I got a friend that's trying to get one, cannot get one. They are sold out everywhere. They make them in the 9mm and the 40, so if you want a bigger round, go for the 40. The size is almost the same. The weight's a little bit more on the slide. But really, if you've got big hands, this is not the gun for you. If you got safety issues like me, that sounds bad. If you have safety issues like me, this is not the gun for you to not have the double-sided safety. If you're a lefty, I guess you could carry it with a safety off and take your, you know, as they say, take your chances. But I don't like taking my chances when it comes to a gunfight. I want to know that everything's going to work and it's going to work like it's supposed to, not like I think it's supposed to. Does that make sense? I want the gun to work like I've trained with it a lot of times and not like have something happen like the safety go on or something and then not have to feel it. But I did forget to mention that. When you put the safety on the gun, the trigger doesn't move hardly at all. You can feel it hit something hard. So it's actually got a trigger block safety in it, which I like over other safeties that when you put it in, it has a disconnect, which means you can feel the trigger and you can pull it all the way to the rear, even though the safety's on and nothing will happen. It's, you know, if you leave the safety on, at least there's a little more feedback that, hey, the safety's on the gun when it's hard like that. If you want one and you want to carry it safety off, I say you need to train with it a lot and make sure the safety never comes on. And you need to train with it with street clothes, not some cool rig you take out to the range. And make sure that thing does not come out on you. Smith, I wish you'd get rid of it. Bob says it's a lawyer gadget just to keep you from getting sued. I think you tried to, you know, sit both sides of the fence and have it both ways. Have a gun that would have a manual safety on it for people like me that wanted to use the safety, but then be able to leave the safety off for guys like Bob that does not want to deal with the manual safety. Anyways, guys, that's the Smith & Wesson Shield. Beautiful little gun. If you've got smaller hands, I think it would be a dream for you to shoot. If you've got bigger hands, I'd say stay away, find something else. Make sure that your hand, when you pick it up and if you want to buy it and play with it, make sure your hand touches all the way inside your palm and that you can get a little bit of extra leverage with your other hand to hold on to the thing. The safety we talked about, you're either going to, you like it, you don't, you're going to use it, you're not. There's not a lot on that. The sights are good. That I still think that slide, I don't know, I can't get over even playing with it where this slide release, slide catch lever is. I think it's a, personally I think it's a poor design, but I guess it works, the gun works, so overall, in the end it works, I just don't like the way it's designed and I can't make it work because it's too hard and it's in the wrong spot. So if it fits your hand though, I mean it could be a great gun. Lots of people love it, says it, that shoot it really accurate, like the trigger. If you like it, shoot one. If you like it, buy one. If you can hold on to it, I'd say buy one. If you've got big hands, fat fingers like me, this gun's going to be a pass for you. You'll never be able to control it well. And that's just not me. I had a student in my last class that came down, and him and his wife, and he was kind of mad by the end of the day because his wife was out shooting him because he had one of these little Smith & Wesson Shield, and he had bigger hands than me, just could not manipulate the gun to save his life, literally. So, check one out. If you can find one in a store, look at it. I mean, just take a picture of it. It's pretty awesome. But feel, make sure it feels and fits your hand if you're going to buy it. If there's any question that doesn't fit your hand, don't believe the clerk when they say, oh, you can just change out the backstrap and it'll fit your hand. I mean, that's a quote, a couple guys, that's just marketing. So, make sure it fits your hand and then go train with it and enjoy it. If it doesn't fit your hand, check out something like the Ruger LC9, the Beretta Nano. I really like that one. Taurus has got like three or four different guns that are this size. And you can always just not be lazy and step up to the Glock 19 or a full-size M&P. Anyways, guys, this has been the Midweek MSP Podcast for the Handgun World Show. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I want you to remember that your gun and knives are just tools. Your mind is the weapon. Train it well.